Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Hi everyone. Yep, so today, I'm going to be sharing on the subject of evangelism. But first, I'm going to start with a game. How many of you like games? Okay, even if you don't, everyone please raise your right hand and keep your hands up. Pair up with someone near you, and if you have paired up with someone near you, you can give them a high five and put your hand down. But keep your hand up until you have paired up. Okay, those people with hands still up, right? If you are near someone with hands still up, adopt them into your pair. You can form a three. Yeah. Okay? Everyone got a pair already? I feel like the SDU. Everyone got a pair? Oh, Raf, what thing? Come, who wants to adopt Raf? Okay, in your pairs now, we're going to have a... okay, thank you. We're going to play a game. Okay, thank you. So round one is this. Think of something nice that you ate in the past 1 week. It could be a cafe or even your mother's food. Yeah, just think of it. And now tell your buddy what you ate and why it was nice. Okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4... 3, 2, 1. Okay, time's up. Did you all manage to do that? Who did it? Finished. Wow, well done. Give yourself a clap. Very good. Round two. Now think of a good movie that you've watched. The last good movie. And tell your buddy about it in 1 minute. Okay, got a few last ones. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Who ever finished? Oh, no. Okay, everyone finish. Very good. So, in a sense, what you've just done is evangelism. Because the root word of evangelism is actually to announce something good. You know, you is good, and then Angeline is to announce something, to bring a message. So, announcing something good, that's the essence, you know, of evangelism. And if you think about it, you know, evangelism sounds so cheap, you know, and so difficult. But if you look at your daily life, you actually do it quite a bit. So if you eat something very nice, you Instagram it, right? You know, you can Instagram, you take 5 photos, choose the best one, filter, and you really want to announce it in a good way, right? In the same way, when you watch a good movie, you recommend it. I remember I tell all my friends, Big Hero 6 is a very good movie. And that's also a very good movie. I'll talk about it later. So we do it all the time because we naturally share what we think is good. The question then is, so why don't we share about Jesus? If we think something is good, we share it. So why don't we share about Jesus? That's a good question to think about. So back in JC, I watched that movie, Changeling. And I remember thinking it was so good. In the theater, right, I cried and cried and cried. And I was so exhausted after the movie, I couldn't go back to school for CCA because I had thought it was such a good movie and cried too much. So when I walked out of the theater, I remember doing something quite... spontaneously, I sent this text to a lot of my friends, just telling them, hey, Changeling is a very good movie. Please watch it, you know, before it stops showing, right? And I sent it to this large group of people, you know. I think, just now we sang, right, it's about foolishness. Yeah, foolishness to me was sending that text because everyone was like, how are you so into about some movie? But I did it anyway because I knew it was good and I didn't care what people thought. I didn't want them to miss out on it. But afterwards, it struck me that when I talk about God, I'm not this determined, you know. I feel scared. I don't go all the way to share with people, like the same way I share about Changeling. And it's not that we don't evangelize. I think we actually evangelize about a lot of things. We announce a lot of good things that are not God. So for you, it's not this movie lah, but think about what you spend hours talking about, you know. Maybe you can spend hours playing Dota and then you talk about it to your friends. Maybe you watch Running Man and you tell other people how funny a certain episode was. Like my sister, she watches Running Man in her room and she laughs and laughs, and because of that, I know Running Man is funny even if I don't watch it because she has announced with her laughter that it is good. So if you think about what you are interested in, what you share about, you know, online, these things actually show you what you value, what you are passionate to share about. So back to the question, why then don't we share about Jesus more? And when I say we, I don't just mean you. I mean me as well. Why don't you and I share about Jesus more? We're going to talk about that today. And I hope at the end of this, it will help us to see that actually we have every reason to share about Jesus. And when we think through why we don't do it, like actually, yeah, there are a few reasons that, you know, come up very commonly and a few obstacles we meet. So today, we are going to go through a passage in Mark 6. And through this passage, I'm going to highlight a few different instances where we find it difficult to share about Jesus and a few reasons why. And as I go through a few groups of people, maybe you identify with one of these groups. Or maybe you identify with all of them. You know, I identify with all of them. That's why I'm highlighting them, right? So as you listen, yeah, just, yeah, really think about whether you identify, and hopefully at the end of it, we will see that we have every reason to share about Jesus. Okay, we're reading from Mark 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to them all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Okay, let's stop here for a while. So we've seen in this short passage that there's something happening. There's a crowd trying to meet Jesus and his disciples when they are trying to go and rest, right? And we see Jesus stopping to teach the crowd. The passage says, when Jesus saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. So many of us heard last week that, last youth service, Bill shared, right? You know, sometimes we don't evangelize because we lack compassion. But today I want to point out something a bit different here. So yes, we see that Jesus stopped because he had compassion. But I think Jesus also stopped because he knew he had something good to give the people. And he was so sure that whatever he had to tell them was something good. So similarly, as followers of Jesus, you have something good to share with people. You know, just now when we talked about food and movies, you all found it so easy, right, to talk among yourselves because it was so natural. You know that it's good and you will share it. And maybe then one reason we seldom evangelize is this. We haven't grasped deep down in our hearts that the message we are announcing is so good. So those of us who have been in church for a while, we've heard, you know, the gospel is good news, right? And it literally means that because gos is Old English for good and spell is Old English for news. So it's something we know in our heads that gospel is good news. But has it hit you very deeply that the gospel is very, very good? And it's not just for you that it's good, but also for your friends. You know, see, when I tell people something is good, right, I actually know that I don't just mean, hey, it's good for me lah, you know, maybe not good for you. But I'll tell them like, wow, hey, the chicken wings at East Coast Park are very good. And I don't just mean like, oh, it's for me only lah, yeah. But I really am telling them, taste and see, you know, you will find that it's good as well. And maybe they will disagree, right, if they eat it and then, yeah, not good lah. But I just give the invitation to come, taste and see, because it is good. And in the same way, when we invite people to come and know about God, we are saying, come, taste and see. I've tried this, it's good. And we can confidently come and announce that, you know. It feels sometimes like we are very scared to say, hey, God is good, because maybe God's only good to me, lah, not good to you. But actually, if we have tasted and found him good, yeah, we can be very confident in recommending, you know, God, because our friends also can taste and see for themselves. So, for me, how I've become convinced that the gospel is good, not just for me, but for my friends, is actually when I see how my non-Christian friends are living, and I compare it to how my friends in church live, and I see a difference. So, what I'm going to share is just a small example from my own experience, and maybe your experience might be different, but this is very true for me. So, at my age, right, in uni, I have a lot of friends who are now thinking of, like, what to do, you know, after I graduate, what if I cannot find a job? And they're honestly quite worried about their future and fearful that they can't get a good job. like, you know, the market is flooded with lawyers. Now, like, so many graduates, the competition is very stiff. So they are very, very afraid. And maybe those of you in poly or ITE and uni also know friends like this. One of my more extreme friends told me that he wants to excel and become rich just so that he can prove to his parents that he's not a failure. And when I see how this is his aim in life, I actually feel quite sad because this friend of mine is seldom happy. And I really want to tell him that, you know, there's a different way to live. And the truth is, you don't need to compete with everyone and feel pressured to prove yourself, because the good news is that God already accepts you and you can live for a higher purpose than just earning money. And I wonder, like, how many of us also have friends who are studying without a clear purpose or living in fear? And I contrast my friend in school to my friends who know God, you know? Like, I see them living differently because they have a certain kind of joyfulness and a certain kind of purpose in their life. So, like, I see Samuel Jubilee and Shermaine Kumar studying social work in school, and they know that God has called them to do this, you know? And I see, like, Daniel and Isin and Anna and Gloria, they study medicine, real estate, business, geography, and they know that God has called them to study these things, to go into these areas. So studying is still difficult, but these friends of mine have peace and they have a certain purpose because they know that God is leading them and they know God will take care of them. So when I see this picture, I realize that we have something very, very precious to share. This knowledge that God loves us and knowing that God has a plan for our lives, that is really very, very life-shaping. Yeah. So maybe if you're in secondary school, you notice your non-Christian friends might be at home playing games, you know, or you're here in church because there's just not much to do, right? And their weekends after holidays have started. Or maybe you're in JC and you see like your friends all studying, crazy studying for A-levels because they're all, you know, afraid they won't ace. But yeah, do you see that you have a very valuable message to share with each of them? You know that they can live differently. And when these friends realize that God loves them dearly and that God has a purpose for their lives, can you imagine how their lives will change? So we can see here that you actually have a very, very good reason to share the gospel with your friends. Just like Jesus, the message you have is very life-changing and is worth sharing with people. Let's carry on reading the passage. So in verse 35, we see at this time it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" So we pause here, okay? So just now we talked about how, you know, sometimes we don't feel like we can share the gospel because we don't realize how good it is, but it's good. For me here, what sticks out to me is I find that sometimes I don't share the gospel because my attitude is like the disciples here towards hungry people. It's like, "Jesus, yeah, I see a need, and I know that, you know, these people are hungry, but they will surely find food somewhere for themselves. You know, so people need to know God, but maybe don't need to involve me. We just send them somewhere, you know, they will find out for themselves along their lives. Somehow someone will tell them that they need God." And I see this happening when I think about how my grandparents don't know God, but I'm always praying that, God, help them find you somehow, somewhere. And I just wait and kind of like don't talk to them about God because it's so hard to me. It's like my grandparents, I cannot communicate, you know, at that level. And it's just like the disciples. We think like, wow, it costs too much to feed this person. And I don't really want to do it. I don't think I can do it. But Jesus' response to them was, "You give them something to eat." Not send them away and hope they will find food by themselves in some village. And I think that this is the call to us also in evangelism. People are spiritually hungry, and God says to us, "You give them something to eat." I think sometimes I think, wow, you know, nowadays I know so many Christian friends in school, so this non-Christian friend also knows so many Christian friends. Somebody will just reach out to them, lah. Or, you know, wow, Christmas service. Maybe everyone like hear Anna say, "Hey, invite friends." But you're thinking, I know that this cell member of mine always inviting friends to church. All the evangelizing, I think these kind of people will do. They are gifted, anointed evangelists. So we can leave it to them because they are so much more effective. And in many different ways, we find reasons to look at our friends and think they will find God somehow, somewhere. Don't need to be through me. But God still looks at you and says, you give them something to eat. Or sometimes I find myself thinking, wow, God, you're so powerful, you know. Why don't you just appear to them straight away? Very convincing, right? You know, you see Jesus in your dream, you believe God exists. And why leave it to us, you know, to do this kind of sharing? So ineffective. But, you know, I think the way that God works in our world is, yes, he can choose to do things directly. He can choose to act on his own. But he just doesn't do that because he chooses to partner with us and involve us in what he's doing so that we can also share in the work. And if we think about it, we actually understand this in everyday life. Like, if we see a need in everyday life, for example, your sister falls down and she scrapes her knees very badly, you're not really going to go there and say, hey, Meimei, I pray for you, okay? And then we just pray for her and leave her there. Hey, okay, God will take care of you. And we just go away. But we will really come and, hey, come, I help you up. Let me clean your knees. And maybe at the end of the day, we will say, hey, we pray for you lah. I can't heal your leg. I can only bandage. So we partner with God to meet a need that we see. Or if your friend loses his wallet, right? And he has no money for lunch. Normally, we don't go and say, hey, you hungry, right? Come, come, I pray for you. And then we just pray, and then, okay, bye-bye. But we will come and like, hey, I lend you money, you buy your food first. And then maybe at the end of the day, we still pray for him because he needs to find his wallet, right? So that one only God can help him. And so there's a partnership that we enter into with God when we meet needs in our lives. And in the same way, I think leading someone to Jesus is also a work that we do together with him. He doesn't need our help. Right. God can always reveal himself to people directly. But because he wants to partner with us, he puts us in communities such that we will see other people's needs and we can also meet them. So think about who God has placed in your community. You know, is there anyone that comes to mind and you can see a need? Maybe it's your parents who don't know God yet. Or maybe it's a friend who's going through a hard time. Or your classmate who nobody understands, right? Or even your canteen uncle who's always black-faced. There are people in our lives who we see every day and we can see needs. So maybe it's not a coincidence that God has put you in that community with them. And you can ask God, you know, what's this person's need? And God, how can I help to meet it? So if people don't know God, maybe God is saying, look, they are spiritually hungry and you have spiritual food. You give them something to eat. And I really believe that the joy you will feel when you finally see someone come to know God is crazy. I've experienced that, and I think very, very little comes close to that kind of joy where you can see, wow, God, you worked in this person's life, and I'm so honored I have a part to play in it. Yeah. So that's another reason. God has said, you give them something to eat. Let's go on in our passage. So we're at verse 38. Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. So when they found out, the disciples came back and said, I have five loaves and two fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among all of them. They ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Another account of this incident appears in the Gospel of John, and that gives us a cool detail about it. It says in the Gospel of John that it was Andrew, the disciple, who spoke up and told Jesus, here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. And Andrew says, but how far will they go among so many? It's in John 6, verse 19. So, I think many of us might have heard of this story before. But today I want to ask all of us to imagine that we are the boy. So you're in the crowd, maybe like it is the end of the day and people are complaining about being hungry. And suddenly a disciple goes around saying, hey, anyone? Got food? Got food? If you have any food, please let us know. And you know that, hey, I actually have five loaves and two fish. You have a decision to make at that point. Are you going to keep it for yourself? Because imagine if you give it to everyone, you might not have anything to eat. You were the only one responsible enough to pack lunch or pack dinner. And it's your bread. Yeah. And the second thought might go through your head, which is, even if I want to help 5,000 people, what can this do? You know, maybe you're thinking like Andrew, how far will this go among so many? Maybe in evangelism, we can sometimes feel like this boy. We understand that, yeah, there's good news. We have good news to share. We understand that, you know, someone has been searching for food. Now there's a need and God says, hey, you go and feed them. But we look at what we have and we think, what can we do? You know, like, I don't know how to answer all these tough questions about God. I don't even know exactly how to share the gospel. Maybe, like, you share a testimony, but I don't really have any stories to share also. So we think, wow, I have so little, and there's so much, and I can't do it. So we feel like giving up. Yeah, I don't know how many of you identify with this, you know? Have you ever felt too inadequate to share about Jesus with a friend? I know I have. And for me, in my secondary school and JC years, I used to feel particularly like sian that my story, my testimony was so small. Because growing up in church, right, you hear all these big, big, amazing stories of how people get to know God, you know, through somebody I heard wanted to commit suicide, then God appeared to them, you know, it's a light in the room. Wow, this kind of dramatic story, you know, then that's how they come to know God. Or like, there was another friend I heard, she became a Christian and her whole family became a Christian because God had healed her mom of cancer. And you know, this kind of thing is like, wow, yeah, that's a cool story. It's wow. But I grew up in church, I was from a Christian family, and my life has been very, very safe and very secure, right? Like, no drama, very little cool stuff have happened in comparison. And I feel like my story is so small that it's not even worth sharing because my journey to know God was so unexciting. I just come to church, I somehow read the Bible, more and more I know that God is real through very, very small things. So how to share this kind of story? And I remember this time in Sec 3 where my friend suddenly asked me in the middle of chem lab, we were like heating copper 2 sulfate, waiting for it to crystallize, and she suddenly asked me, Hannah, why do you believe in God? And I was just like, oh my goodness, what do you want me to say? And I just stared at my copper 2 sulfate for a while. And like, I remember she was quite a skeptical atheist, right? So I wish I could have something bigger to say. Like, if I could tell her some wild story, you know, then she would know, wow, God exists. But I really don't have that kind of story because that's not my life. So instead, I could only tell her that I know God is real because I see Him doing very small things in my life. So I shared with her off the top of my head, like, a few days ago, actually, I was at a hawker center and I didn't have enough money for dinner. I only had $1, but the cheapest thing in the hawker was popiah, and it's $1.10 because price increased. It was like the Margaret Drive hawker. It was after church. And I remember, like, wow, I was just there, never mind, no need to eat. So I sat at the table where my friends go and buy food. And then I look underneath the table and suddenly I see 10 cents. I'm like, whoa, thank you, God. So I got to eat my popiah. And that, to me, was the most recent memory of God being real. So I feel like, wow, if I have found $10,000, maybe it's a very spectacular story you can share. But this kind of story, 10 cents only. That is really a 5 loaves and 2 fishes kind of story. And since then, like, I never got to talk to this friend much after because we're not close at all. But I can only trust that this kind of story, you know, even though it's so small, God will somehow use it. And it will make a difference in her life, even in some small way. Yeah. So if we are like this boy, you know, and we imagine someone has a need, our question now is, what are your 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What can you give to your friends who don't know God? Maybe you're like me, you just have a small story of how God provided. And maybe you don't even have a story, you just feel like, I just know God exists lah, but, you know, I don't really know how to share that. But maybe you can ask a friend to come for Christmas service. That's something very small, but it could make a difference. Maybe you feel like, I don't know enough about the Bible, I cannot answer hard questions about Christianity. But you can pray for your friend if they're going through a hard time. So if all these things are what you know how to do, then go for it. Because that is your offering. And if you have that, don't despise it, because whatever you offer to God, He will really, really use it. So, I want to share one last story from my life to illustrate how evangelism can really start from small little things. A few years ago, Keegan brought his JC friend to a Cool Youth service. And I remember he texted me saying, "Hey, come and say hi to my friend." So after service, I just went over and said, "Hi." And I didn't really talk to her after that. I don't remember that lah. So sometime later, Keegan brought her again for another evangelistic service. It was a beautiful exchange, you know, where everyone was packed, right? So I was sitting upstairs, and after service, I came down, and I saw her there again. So I said hi before, right? So I can say hi again. So I said, hi. And then I just asked, like, "Hey, can I pray for you?" You know, and she let me. So as I prayed for her, I felt God, like, release a word. So I just prayed, Lord. And then she just cried. So, okay, Lord, she cried. And that was the end of our encounter. We didn't talk after that. So fast forward, me and the friend started uni while Keegan was still in NS. One day he suggested that three of us can study together in NUS. So he came all the way down to study with us. We were studying, just chat a bit, and nothing deep lah. But through studying with her, I found out like she studied life science. And so the next time when Kuz had a talk about creation and evolution, I thought she might be interested. So I invited her. In the end, she wasn't interested, but we had dinner after the talk. And over dinner, I found out that actually she was quite interested to know about the Bible. But, you know, if you're a non-Christian, right, you think about reading this very thick book with small words. It's actually a very scary thought, right? Like, why would you open it? Where do you start? You don't understand, like, how the books are organized. Oh, Christians also find it difficult. Non-Christians might find it completely unreadable. Yeah. But so, that was my thought, lah. So I thought, okay, you want to read the Bible? We read together. So, we arranged to meet up in the holidays, and once a week, we'll meet up, and we'll talk about one chapter of John. We just sit there, read together, then discuss. And so, at this point, right, we are meeting once a week to talk about the Bible. But do you all remember how it all started? It was one day, Keegan said, "I'm bringing my friend to church. Can you come and say hi to her? Because you're a girl." Oh, okay, Lord, I come and say hi to her. So, I came and say hi, and that is really what kick-started everything. And as I look back, I see how God multiplied that very small action, you know, Keegan coming to bring her to church, me saying hi, and it became something more than we could have ever imagined. And so to this day, the end of the story is, this friend is now following Jesus, and I see how God has really worked in her life. Yeah, and it feels like such a privilege, you know, to be part of it, even if there was so little I could have done, so little that I managed to do. But God will take whatever little you have, and He will make it something bigger than you imagine sometimes. So this last encouragement really is that when you give your little to God, He will use what you have. And that is a reason that you can feel confident in sharing anything that you have with your friend about God. And your story will look different from mine because you're a different person. But I truly, truly believe that if any of you like ever feel, "Can I do it?" Yes, you can, because each of you has the potential to lead someone to Christ. All that God asks of you is, will you give what you have? As for how far will it go among so many, God will take care of that. So I've asked AJ and Shah to prepare this song. It's called Five Loaves and Two Fishes. And I know many of you have heard it, but as you hear it again, I really believe the Holy Spirit can speak to you. So let the word sink in, yeah, and really listen to God also.
Tonight, everyone was hungry. He wasn't sure what good it'd do. There were thousands to be fed. But he saw the twinkling eyes of Jesus, the kindness in his smile. And the boy cried out with the trust of a child. He said, take my five loaves and two fishes.
Let's stand together. You know, at the start of my message, I asked a question, which is why don't we share Jesus more? And through our time, we explored some reasons, some common obstacles we face. But I think now as we end our service, we've heard so many reasons about how God has given us a good message, how God is the one that has called us to feed the people who are spiritually hungry, and how God will multiply whatever we give to Him. And I think all this invites a response. Whatever we've heard today isn't just information like, oh, you know, I give you reasons for this thing. But really, I think it's a call. And God is saying, you have every reason to share about Jesus. We will always have every reason, no matter how many times we feel like we can't, how many times we feel like there's just no reason. There is, and God is calling us, you know. And so I think as we close our eyes, I would just like to have us think about some questions. You know, maybe God is asking you today, are you willing to take the next step? You know, the boy didn't need to know what would happen in the end, that there would be a miracle or how God exactly would make it happen. But the only question he had to answer was, are you willing to give your loaves and your fishes? And in the same way, the question we always have to answer is, are we willing? And God calls, if our response here today is, I am willing, then I think let's respond as a congregation. And through this song, as we close, let it be your commitment to God that, Lord, I will offer my life to you. And anything that will lead someone to know you, God, I will give it because you will do something. I just want to share this last thought, which is, you know, sometimes we think we need to first experience a big miracle before we can share about God. But what if maybe it's the other way around, in the sense that when we step out and we share, we give what we have, it is in those moments that you experience that miracle. And the story ends with everyone experiencing, wow, God provides in a big way. And everyone experiences this miracle after the boy gave. So today, maybe that's just one step. And as you give it, you never know what will happen. Come, let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us whatever experiences we have. God, I know it's not a coincidence where you've placed us, the life we've lived, the schools we attend, the parents we have, God, all these are where you've placed us. And God, I ask that you will show us in every season there is always a reason to share about you, God. And whatever we have, God, just as we sang, we offer it to you. God, we trust that you use it for your glory. And God, you will lead us, show us the next step, you know. As we step out today, God, we will listen and we'll obey you, God, because you are reason enough, you know, and you are good. We will share that your goodness is enough. So we will... Yeah, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Shall we just encourage Hannah? You know, I felt that even just when I read the words that Jesus says, you, you give them something to eat. Now this you, Jesus is saying that to each one of us. It's very easy to say to other people, right? You. But know that when Jesus say that in the word of God, he's saying that to each one of us. We all can give. Amen. I know that each one of us have that real struggle. We all have that fear. And sometimes we wonder whether that kind of thing will go away. It might not. But I think evangelism is always a faith journey. That is part of the journey to trust in God and say, God, the little that I have, I'll do it. I'm very scared, but I'll do it. I have very little, but I will give it. There are many of us here who are maybe just a little ahead in the journey. It's not that we are no longer fearful, but it's that in spite of our fears, we have tried and probably failed many times. You know, to the point you can even laugh about it. So I just want to say this as we close. I want to open up this time, because I know that there are many of us who actually really have a heart to give, but we are really scared. And I want to invite those who feel that you are in this category. You know there are people like you want to share with, you want to invite. Sometimes you do not know how to, and you are really scared. I'm going to ask Hannah and some of the leaders, you know, to just pray with you. Sometimes it's good to know that there are people who stand with you, pray with you, and encourage you. Okay, I know that right, just next week is a concert. We have encouraged many of you to go, you know, invite your friends. Invitation sometimes is easy, but it's the sharing, it's the talking that's challenging, right? So I want to invite this. I want to give this time. I'm going to close the service so that those who, you know, yeah, you have something to attend to, you can leave. But the rest of you, if you feel that this is an area in your life you really, really struggle with, you know, I'm going to close at this time the service. You can come to the front and have people to pray with you. Is that okay? Cool. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this message. Lord, we know that this word evangelism has always been used. It's a word like every Christian knows, struggles to do. But Lord, tonight we just want to say that we now have a clearer picture. That is a faith journey. It is something everyone struggles with. Everyone have a lot of fear over. But you can empower us. You have given us this instruction to give our little, no matter how small it can be, to others. And we pray that you help us, Lord. That in our fears, you give us that courage, the boldness to overcome. So, Lord, as we approach this next weekend, where there are so many chances for us to give, to invite, to share with our friends, will you give us the courage to overcome? And I just want to bless every single Cool's youth here, every of our friends and visitors. Lord, that you grant us a time of joy, knowing that you, knowing and experiencing your presence, Lord, in this coming week. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Those of you who want prayer, I want to invite you to the front. You know, just come. Come with your friends. And if not, yeah, have a great weekend.